welcome to a special show of the Go Terps. Mr. Travis Garrison of the Fields of 68 Networks. Finally got my brother, my best friend, former teammate, Chris McCray, to join the show. What's going on, bro?
What's up, champ? Ain't nothing, man. How you doing?
I'm good, man. How's everything going? How the family doing?
Doing great, man. Doing great, man. Starting to get cold out here.
Time to bundle up. Where you at again?
Fargo, North Dakota. Well, shoot, I've been out this way for what, about 7-8 years now.
Man, North Dakota.
Yep, calling home.
Now, that's what's up, though, man. Hey, now, I appreciate you taking time out your schedule, man, to join the show.
Thank you, Shawty. You know I had you, man. Just been busy running around. Got this little four-year-old, man. She keep me on my toes, man.
Hey, as she should, man. As she should. Hey, but, you know, I know a lot of the, you know, Terp fans, man, and, you know, a lot of your fans, you know, want to see what's going on with you, how things going with you these days, man. But we're going to jump right into it because I know, you know, I don't want to take up too much of your time. But I know, so – obviously, you're from C. Pleasant, Maryland. Like, what schools were you looking at also besides Maryland? Like, what schools was on your radar?
Well, my top three, you know, was Michigan and Florida State. You know, and by that time, when Coach Dickerson, Dave Dickerson, was recruiting me, you know, between me and Matt Walsh, you know, and then when Matt Walsh committed to Florida, and Dave was like, man, we gotta have you, man. So I was like, well, I'm home, love the school, love the coaches, so just pulled the trigger early.
Right, right. Because I'm pretty, like I said, I'm pretty sure a lot of schools are trying to get at you, man, because, you know, obviously we came out together, man, and you was terrorizing the DMV area, man, breaking all type of scoring records, man, scoring 50, 40-some points a game. So how was that, man, like that whole process in regards to just – minimizing those schools down, because like I said, I know a lot of schools wanted you, man.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't really like no progress, you know what I'm saying, because I wasn't like Travis Garrison, you know what I'm saying? I wasn't top 10, you know, I wasn't top 10, you know, as a 7th grader, all through, you know what I'm saying, all through high school.
Yeah.
You know, so like I didn't, as you know, I went to Curl my first year.
Right.
You know, and I played freshman, you know, and then I decided to transfer back home to a public school, Fairmont Heights. You know, and then that's when just stuff just started clicking, you know. So, man, you played a couple AAU games together with the Blue Devils, and we was going on the national scene, and I was just, you know what I'm saying, being myself, and I was actually playing well, you know. So people really didn't start recognizing me until I was a sophomore, you know, playing in those big-time tournaments and things like that. So, you know, so as like the years, you know, as that season went on, I just kept getting better and better, working and working, and that's when the letters started coming, you know. But it was always, you know, it seemed to always be Florida State, you know, Michigan, Florida State, Michigan, and Maryland. You know, it was my top three throughout the whole process.
Right. Yeah, I mean, since you did mention our games against each other, man, you know, I just got to let everybody know that, you know, you guys was winning championships left and right and C plays a wreck. And then, you know, John Edgar Howard was that team, man. That took y'all down, you know, being y'all in the championship. So I just want everybody to know about that, you know.
Yeah, we still need to see your birth certificate. Are you 6'7" at 7 years old? We need to see that.
Hey, y'all had grown men on that team, man. Y'all had grown men on that team with beards and everything. So
Beard. Yeah, he came from Glenard, though, so he wasn't, you know, C Pleasant dude.
Oh yeah. Nah, man, you know, you see a lot of guys, man, even, you know, Kevin Durant mentioned it in regards to who he enjoyed watching or who he learned from growing up, man. And obviously you want to see presence, not just see presence, but one of the DMV greatest, man, to come out, man. So how does that feel? And how does it even feel when KD did say that? Like, what was your thoughts? Or did you know about it, or somebody contacted you because of it?
No, I didn't know about it. Somebody, because, you know, I don't do like the Twitter and stuff like that. So somebody sent me the tweet, you know, and I was just like, oh, wow. Like I said, like, you know, back in those days, we all compete within each other. You know what I'm saying? So you never look at nobody, you know what I'm saying? Like, just basically like, oh, man, I'm trying to follow him. You know what I'm saying? Basically, you looking at me one-on-one, we trying to play against each other. But at the same time, like I said, we both learning from each other, you know, and I'm learning from the older guys, and he was learning from me, you know, as one of the older guys to him. So it was an honor, you know, it was an honor, for, especially for somebody like that, probably going to end up being one of the top five greatest ever players in the history of the game.
Nah, absolutely, man. I know when I saw it, man, you know, just it's obviously, you know, we've been best friends, man, for a long time, man. And I think, I don't know if I was on Twitter at the time, but I think it started going crazy because everybody kept retweeting it or somebody sent it to me and I saw it, man. I said, you know, obviously, like I said, you was one of the greatest to come out of Sea Pleasant. You know what I mean? Probably the greatest, you know, in regards to, you know, at that time. So, you know, a guy like him, I mean, he's looking up to you, C. Bell, you know, you guys coming out there, man, killing it. You know what I mean? It's just only right. I tell people all the time, touching the DMV, those guys that pay homage, you know, even me, you know, how we do it, like we see the older guys that came before us, and every time we see them, we got to show them love because we used to watch those guys coming up, you know, DJs and, you know, Greg Jones and Kurt Smith and all those guys. Every time we see Lonnie Harrell, we see those guys, you know what I mean? I know for me, I go up to them and, you know, I pay that homage as we should, you know?
For sure.
So I guess he was doing the same thing to you.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's all, that's just called respect. You know what I'm saying? That's all it is. Anything other than that, that's just you hating on somebody. You know, that's not the way we grew up. You know, that's not the way we grew up. We used to be there on like that Sunday for noon ball with the old heads and have to just sit there and watch because we couldn't get on the court. You know, so that's just all respect. That's all that is.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Like I said, man, I tell people all the time, man, that's how it should be. You know, especially every time I'm the younger dude. I said, man, every time, you know, you see these guys that came before you guys, I mean, especially if they paved the way for you or, you know, you used to watch them and they used to be your role models growing up. I mean, I don't care how far you go, you know, you still got to pay homage to those guys that came before you.
All day, for sure.
Yeah. Hey, but before we talk some Terp basketball, let me tell you guys a little bit about our partners over at Bet Rivers Sportsbook. If you haven't signed up with Bet Rivers yet, now's the time because they are offering a $250 match bonus for your first deposit. But what sets them apart is that they require just one playthrough to turn your bonus into cash money. With their new Rush Pay Instant Approval, withdrawing your winnings is safer, more secure, and more reliable. With basketball season tipping off, get in on the action by going to BetRivers.com today or by downloading the BetRivers app. Must be 21 years or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terp basketball now. Now you're a Terp. Now you're a Terp. It's your first time on campus, man. What was that experience like? You know, obviously, like you said, man, coming from the Maryland area, you know, being one of the greats to come out of Maryland and then going to play for Maryland. What was that like? And what was that experience like when you first stepped on campus?
Oh, man, you know what, Sue? I committed going into my junior year, you know, so like, all those games, you know, I got to see Juan and them walking in there as a high school student at the Cole Fair House, packed, jam-packed, you know, every game and how the fans was. I mean, it was just amazing, you know, coming from like a public school, Thelma Heights, like I said, I ain't playing those big old gyms like that, you know, just seeing that for the first time, was like, wow, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I just know I had to get my mind right, you know what I'm saying? Get everything, just be ready, basically, man. It was just amazing feeling.
Right. And then obviously you mentioned Juan. I know, did you have a chance to like really talk to him, or did he kind of like, you know, because y'all played similar shooters, you know, dominant. Like, did y'all have a time to like talk, or he pulled you to the side and y'all have a conversation, kind of like just, you know, helping you out, getting you prepared for what's to come?
Yeah. Well, no, not really. Because, you know, by that time that we were still playing too, you know, and they were still doing their thing. So when I used to go up there, it was just basically watch them practice, or, you know what I'm saying, they doing a shoot around, like things like that. Of course, like you said earlier, you know, we always pay homage, like, hey, Juan, what's up? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm looking at him like, yeah, I'm looking up to you, homie. I'm trying to follow your footsteps, you know what I'm saying? So it was just always like the mutual respect, but it wasn't, we really didn't like chop it up, like, you know what I'm saying, like that.
Right. No, absolutely, man. So you're on campus now, you know, first experience as a college student. Now, what was it like in regards to that whole transition from the high school basketball game to, you know, like I said, you've been one of the top scorers in the area to now you're at Maryland, you know, we're a freshman and then you still had the seniors that just won the national championship. What was that feeling like for you like going from, you know, like I said, from high school, now you're going and we're playing, you're playing for a defending national championship team.
Right. Well, at first, to be honest, it really didn't feel different, you know, and then till that first practice and then reality hit, you know, right. And then you're not the man no more. Nobody cares right. about you. Everything got to be earned. You know, you go from like a scoring 30 to, hey, look, you got 5 minutes out there in the court. We need to play defense. And then you're probably going to come right back out. You know, so a lot of adapting, you know what I'm saying? Adaptation and things like that. But like I said, it was a whirlwind, you know, and then you got some games you don't play and then you like get down on yourself. You're like, oh, man, I've never not played a game in my life, you know? And,
right.
You know what I'm saying? So just little things like that, it just hits you real, real fast.
Right. Did that throw you off? Obviously, before you came to Maryland, you know, the expectations or your expectations probably like you was going, like you said, you never not played that many minutes. Then you go to Maryland. Now you're playing limited minutes, you know, obviously because, you know, Drew Nicholas, those guys are still there. But like, so you said that, I know you said that messed with your confidence some, but like, so how did you try to adapt? Like I said, you coming off the bench and you're only playing about 5 minutes. What was that process like? Or, you know, the younger kids that may be going through something different or similar?
I think it was the coaching. I mean, and then keeping your head up. You know, we had, you know, of course, Hall of Fame coach, and we had great assistants, you know, that always work with us no matter if we played 2 minutes or 5 minutes. We were still, you know what I'm saying, got to watch film. We still in there. Keep your head up. Your time will come. Like, you know, be patient. You know what I'm saying? Just things like that's just the patience, you know? And like certain games, you're not expecting to get in. Like, one game we played against Clemson, I think we beat them by like 25 and didn't get in the game. Then the next game, we played against Duke at home when they was number one in the country. And I played 16 minutes, you know? Right. So it was just basically patience and just keeping your head up and staying focused and just believing in the process. And like I said, we had a Hall of Fame coach and there's nothing you can do but listen to that guy.
Right, right. And then, okay, now you go from your freshman and then your sophomore. Now the seniors are gone. Now you're a star lineup. Now it goes from, like you said, not playing no minutes. Now you starter now. What was that process like? And what was that feeling like? Now you basically playing for the home team and you starter now. What was that feeling like for you? And how was that process in regards to now you got to kind of step in fast because you're kind of like the leadership of the team now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I said, it felt great. You know, now you just knew. You just right. knew you had an expectation on yourself. You know, now, you know, you got a little taste of it a little bit. We went to, I think we what, lost in 16 to what, Michigan State or somebody?
Michigan State.
Yeah, Michigan State. And you just got that taste of that. And then, you know, next year is your turn. You know, you got everything in front of you. You know, at the same time, you still had to work, you know, because we had, they had all freshmen coming in too with us. You know, DJ, you know, Mike Jones, number two in the country. And thing like that. So other guards was coming in like in the same boat that I was coming in as a freshman, like trying to get minutes, you know. Right. So we still had to keep our, you know what I'm saying, stay on our grind and just keep on working and working and working. And then like I said, it was just the expectation that you put on yourself, you know, and if you want to work for something, then you gotta go get it.
Right. Now obviously obviously we was in the ACC at that time. Now we got those rivalry games. You're going against the North Carolinas and the Dukes. Now you're going against, you know, J.J. Redick, y'all going at it. You know, what was that like, man? You know, because, like I said, it was that rivalry. Man. Every time Duke came to town, every time with the Duke, you know, it was the head-to-head, and you going up against J.J., what was that like? And, you know, just what was that whole process like? And what was that feeling like? Like I said, you're going against one of the great shooters, just like you. It's against Duke, you know what I'm saying? So what was that like? Yeah. What was that experience like?
Like I told you earlier, starting in high school, you know, like just playing because I wasn't playing like those big old tournaments. I wasn't on no big team. And then it was funny because playing with the Blue Devils and it was me and Jerry Jack in the backcourt. And for Boo Williams, it was John Gilchrist and J.J. Redick. You know, so that was my first time you know what I'm saying? Seeing JJ and the Johns, like all the guys that you see, you know what I'm saying? The rankers and things like that. And like I said, if you want something, you got to go get it. You know what I'm saying? If you're fearful, then JJ gonna see it. He gonna give you 70. You know? So like I said, right. So it basically started then. But like I said, it was just, that fire and that eager, you know, that's one thing like I respect about like the JJs and the Dukes, because they're gonna get everybody's best shot every time.
Right.
You know, and they was definitely gonna get mine, especially right. JJ, you know, because right. like I said, you see somebody ranked ahead of you and you seeing all of this and stuff like that. So you basically you put yourself in their shoes and wanna like match up against them all the time. You know, and that's basically what all it was. Basically just confidence and playing within each other.
What was some of the, obviously, you know, the atmosphere at the Comcast at the time, but the atmosphere was crazy. Like, what was that like? Like you said, you go from playing in that small gym in Fairmont, but now you up in Comcast and the arena's going crazy, especially against the big games like that. What was it like playing up in there, man, and then winning big games like a Duke and just having the crowd screaming your name and just the whole atmosphere, you know?
Yeah, man. Comcast was amazing. You know, I don't remember a game where we wasn't sold out, you know, no matter right. what the opponent was. You know, our fans had one of the best fan bases in the country. You know what I mean? Right. That was just running out there doing warm-ups 45 minutes before the game, and they students right there, they scream and they ready, you know what I'm saying? Right. So you, as a player, you take their energy and you put that little bit, you know what I'm saying, more within yourself. You know what I'm saying? Right. So then that's where that 110% come from. You know what I'm saying? The right. fans, and our fans definitely gave that to us every night.
Right. So what was it like? Obviously, you someone 110%. What was it like playing for G-Dub? You know, he going to get 110% every time on that sideline. What was it like playing for him, especially as playing for him as a guard? Because, you know, yeah. him being a former guard.
No, it was great. You know, like I said, that our flex was just amazing. He always just put, like, all the guards in great position. I mean, as a shooter, you too, as a stretch four. You know what I'm saying? Our offense was, you know, he'll show me the little wrinkles, you know, show me what Juan and them used to do and how to read this screen, how to fade back, how to cut up, cut back. You know what I'm saying? So Gary was very instrumental in my growth as a player, and I thank him to this day.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. I definitely agree with that. What was some of your best or even fondest moments at Maryland, man? And it ain't just got to be on the court. We just talking about period. Obviously, at that time, it was, like I said, it was different. We was ACC at the time, and, you know, COVID wasn't around. So, you know, it wasn't all that social distancing. It was just,
yeah,
everything was wide open, man. What was some of your greatest moments besides, you know, being my roommate, you know, and messing with me every day.
You playing Sade all night. Anybody had time for that?
Hey, man, you keeping the TV on late at night. You ain't even wait. Hey, as soon as I try to go turn the TV on, you come on, what you doing?
Hey, you ain't turning Sade on. Got
your footsteps, man. Hey, man, boy, I couldn't wait not to be your roommate no more. Man. I said, get me out of here now.
And you move right behind me and say, yeah, whatever. Oh, man. But no, I think as far as the Maryland, I mean, other than, of course, that ACC championship was just amazing. But I think our time we went to Italy together, you know, and that was just amazing. You know, and that was, you know, my first time in Europe, you know, and it was just amazing. That's how we got to, you know what I'm saying, get to know our new teammates, got to know the fans up and close. They got to know us, you know, we got right. to see their kids. And it's funny now, we go back to homecoming and their kids in college, you know, it's like, man, right. where's the time gone, you know? So right. I think right. our time in Italy and traveling through all of that and, you know, seeing that and being with everybody, I think that was the greatest part.
Nah, absolutely. I mean, I definitely agree too, man. Like you said, that combination of we just won the ACC championship, went on that great run, man. We still was high off that, and then we go straight to Italy that summer, and you know, we there for 12 days, 7 different cities, man. And got to, like I said, got to explore and, like you said, hang out with each other, man. Got to know each other even better, closer then. And then, like you said, getting to know the fans more and getting to know us, man, it was like that was definitely probably some of my greatest times. Probably my greatest time in college.
Yeah, it was amazing. And then what? Another one was when me and you went to Europe. You know, when Coach Passo sent us over there with USA team with Was that Paul Westfall was our coach?
Coach Paul Westfall, rest in peace. We went to Cypress, and that was, we went to Cypress. That was, I think that probably was going into our sophomore year, too.
Yeah, that was going to our sophomore year, And that was the thing. Like I said, about the experience, you know, because they knew we had to be ready to play, and that was our time. And I thank Coach Patsos for doing that for us. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we didn't really play that much during the year. You know what I'm saying? So we got a couple more games under our belt to get ready for the season. So I'm grateful to Patsos for that. Thanks.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Now you had your college experience. You went through that whole process, man. Now it's time to get ready for pros. What was that experience like in regards to training for that, preparing for that, finding out where you're going to go, what things are looking like? What was that whole process like? Like you said, man, growing up, obviously, that's a dream, you know, to play in the NBA. You play college basketball, you want to go to the NBA. What was that transition like in that process, like just even getting prepared for it?
Well, I'm going to first start out by saying sorry to all the Terps fans, you know, because everything that happened was my fault. You know, getting academically ineligible and things like that. You know, I was having a great year individually, and we was having a great year as a team. You know, we went to Maui and we did it up, you know, and then we came back. So first I'm going to say I apologize. Everything was my fault. No excuses, no nothing, you know, but I, you know, after the Maui, you know, they, you know, you get to looking on the draft board and then you get a little antsy, you know, this your last year. And you see that some got you projected first, some got you projected early second. You know, late second, undraft, you know, so you start to think about that stuff. So that, so after I got academically ineligible, you know, me and Coach Williams had a talk, you know, he brought me in his office and he just basically just told me, hey man, go rededicate yourself to the game of ball, you know, and then it took me a couple of days and I told him what I was thinking and I called him and I told him that I was thinking about going to Houston with John Lucas, you know, because, you know, as you know, he wanted me to stay and practice with you guys to stay in shape, you know, so he told me, man, go. That'll be the best thing for you. Get away and do this, do that, you know what I'm saying? Then I went out there with John Lucas in, January, you know, while you guys were still playing. Well, I apologize to you guys, too, my teammates, you know. Sorry for that, too.
No, hey, man, you know, we was young, man. We all made mistakes, man. And it's all about, like you said, it's all about redeeming yourself and learning from them. But now helping those younger guys, you know, not to make those same mistakes. So, you know, it was everybody's fault, man. A lot of other people was involved. So it wasn't just you.
Yeah, appreciate that, bro. Then, like I said, I was out there with Lucas by myself, you know, as a college guy. I was out there with Jason Williams from Duke. He was just coming off the motorcycle injury, so he was trying to get back. Damon Stoudemire was out there with me, Penny Hardaway, Ron Mercer, Mike James. So I was basically the only college guy because all the college students were still playing. So I got a chance to learn from, like, all the vets, you know, and having two-a-days with John Lucas every day, you know what I'm saying, getting used to the pro game, you know, and just like that whole process of the traveling and things like that, you know, it was just amazing. I went to the combine and I played all right, you know, but like the scouts said, nobody really stood out, you know, so everybody really stayed packed, you know. So, you know, I got a call from Milwaukee, you know, and they basically said they want to bring me in, you know, and draft day, they said we might take you, might not, you know, and like through all everything, you know, everything I put Coach through, and the first call I got even before the draft, it was Coach Wham. You know, he called me and said, man, good luck. You know what I'm saying? I'm still praying for you. You're still my son. And that just meant so much to me, man. You know, after everything I did to him and you guys and the fans, he took the time out, you know, to call me. He didn't have to do that, you know? And that was just amazing, you know? And so end up going free agency. You know what I'm saying? And Milwaukee said they're going to bring me in. You know what I'm saying? I got a good chance to make the roster. And then I just went full steam ahead. I had nothing to lose, you know? Right. And I played great. I was shooting the ball well, you know? And things happen, you know? And then they called me on the last cut day. You know what I'm saying? I was nervous. I said, man, you come on to practice, man. You made it. I was like, oh. it was just amazing, man. You know, of course, Mo Williams and everybody took me out. They was happy for me, and it was a real sweet experience for me.
Man, that's what's up, man. Like you said, man, just having that feeling in the last cup, man, not knowing if your dreams will come true or not, and then that happens, man. Like I could just imagine that feeling. You know, how did your family feel? Like, what was that? What was that like? You know, calling moms and, you know, like, man, I made the team. Like, what was that whole experience like? Like I said, man, that's a dream come true from us, you know, as kids, you know.
Yeah, you know how family. Oh, my baby is proud of, you know, the same old saying. All right, Ma, get on my phone. You know, of course, you know, her and my little sister Chantel, you know, came out to the first game and stuff like that. But like I said, of course, everybody was proud, you know, at the same time, because it kind of like got that stench out their mouth from the way my college career ended. Right, you know, so everything came full circle, and they see that I recovered. You know, and you know what I'm saying? I got my head back on straight, you know what I'm saying? Because I almost threw something that we grew up playing at 3 years old. Right. You know what I'm saying? We've been playing since three, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And to see that dream go for you just being lackadaisical and nonchalant, you know, and I think that they were just happy. They was genuinely happy for me.
Man, that's awesome, man. Like I said, man, that was a experience for sure. So you had your time in the NBA, but you also went overseas as well. So what was that like? You know, like I said, you're going from the NBA games and then now you're transitioning to overseas. Because you had Milwaukee. What other NBA teams you played for or had the opportunity with?
Well, I had Memphis and I had Houston. You know, they was really high on my list. And like the first year in Europe, when I went to Belgium, played for Ostende. You know, actually, I could have went back to training camp and, you know what I'm saying, fought again. But at the same time, as a basketball player, you want to play. Right. You know, so it's good to be in the NBA and all that stuff, but at the same time, you want to play, you know. And I didn't see any opportunity for me to get, you know, meaningful minutes or minutes that I want, you know, to produce. Yeah. So me going to Europe was a great thing, you know what I'm saying? Right. And what the kids don't know, I mean, after taxes and all that stuff, it's the same money. If you live in that NBA life, you gotta have that car, you know what I'm saying? Right. You gotta have that house. You gotta see in Europe, they give you a house and a car. You know what I'm saying? And damn near one of the owners own one of the restaurants, you know what I'm saying? So you're eating for free, you know. Free, so all that money you getting is your money, tax free, you know what I'm saying? But like which is was funny, because when we went to Italy, I was like, how are these Americans doing this? You know, and then my first year, I was like, oh, I love this.
Right.
It was just amazing.
Nah, and going back to what you said, man, in regards to the kids that want that, even when we were coming out, man, obviously we were like, man, we going to NBA, man. We ain't going overseas. We want that NBA experience. Then you get the NBA experience, and the money is like, and you ain't playing, and, you know, the money, you sign for this, but the tax come up from every state you play in. Then you got to buy your house. You got to pay for all these things. You're like, man, then you ain't playing. So like you said, okay, I got that experience. Let me see what overseas is like. Now you living overseas. Now you ain't getting taxed because the team is paying the tax. You get a crib. You get a car. Some teams, you might get a cell phone. So you're not paying for anything. You literally just keep all the money that you make.
Yep. Yeah. Like I said, it's amazing. I mean, like I never wanted to come back. You know, I had plenty of opportunities to come back, but I always said, no, I'm fine here. You know, I was happy. I was happy. And everything that I wanted out of my basketball career was like right there in Europe.
You know,
I mean, of course, your goal is always want to be the best, but I'm fine here. You know, I'm playing. Right. You know, my family's fine. We eating, you know, so everything was good.
Right. No, absolutely, man. What was one of the best countries, or probably the best country and best experience you had playing overseas?
I could say all of them was pretty amazing, but my first year in Ostende, we was in the Europe Cup. So, you know, in those, you travel every week to different countries, you know? Right. So we was gone, you know? And then, I probably seen every country, basically, you know? So we was moving so much, and then by me just traveling around, but I liked Russia, believe it or not, you know, Russia going out there and seeing that, then you get the red square, you know, and then of course I got to see the Athens Arena, which you played in Greece, so you probably know that one. So just like I said, just that whole travel experience and just seeing different things, that was just the best part for me.
Right, absolutely, man. Like I tell people all the time, man. And it's funny because guys used to tell us that. He was like, man, look, man, the money's green everywhere, whichever you go. You know what I mean? Don't just get stuck on that NBA thing. But like I said, you don't think about that stuff, man. But now going through it, we emphasize that now. Like, man, look, then like I said, you get the experience. You get to learn different cultures and that whole thing, man. Something that you ain't got to pay for. Whereas if you right. pay in the league, you're going to go overseas. You're paying for that. You're going to pay for that experience. Whereas you're getting it for free because you play the sport and you're playing for that whatever country you're in and things yeah. like that, man. So, so like I said, so now you go through your professional career. So what is Chris McCray up to now?
Chris, speaking of second person. But family guy, man. You know, family. I mean, I train kids. I do a hospital, Sanford out here. You know, okay. real big. And the guy, my captain, Freddie Coleman. He's like the head trainer guy, and he played at NDSU and coached at NDSU. You know, the same school as Trey Lance and Carson. You know, so I just talked to him and you know what I'm saying, wrapped it up. We kind of had like the same like ideas, basically just all for the kids. You know what I'm saying? Right. So right now I'm on the give back thing, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, raising this little 4-year-old terror, you know. And, but basically, you know, that's what I do now. Just training the kids and going to see them play because I think I get more of a high off of that. You know, seeing the kids, you know what I'm saying, playing 5-on-5 now, knowing that you're training, you get to see them, you know what I'm saying, one-on-one and teach them something, you know what I'm saying? Right. So I think that's what I'm up to now, man, just relaxing and enjoying life right now.
Man, that's what's up. But before I let you go, we got to talk about this, man. You know, Coach Turgeon is no longer at Maryland no more. First of all, what are your thoughts on that? And second of all, who do you think should be the next coach? So, but let's touch on, obviously, just Coach Turgeon not being in there more. Like, what was your thoughts on that? And that move, especially during the season?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure everybody was surprised, just like when they say my name go across the screen, the academic head, you know, right. but especially by his record, you know what I mean? I think he was doing a good job, you know what I mean? Like I said, it's other stuff that we don't know, you know what I'm saying? Though we're not supposed to know what's going on behind closed doors, but in my eyes, I mean, the record speak for itself. I mean, he was going to the tournament, taking the kids, and then the 1 year that we couldn't go, we was probably going to be a 2 or 3 seed, you know, had a good chance of making a good run. So, like I said, really can't even speak on it because you don't really know, you know, somebody something that he wanted to do something more, he wanted for himself or some, you know what I'm saying, the Terp community wanted for themselves, you know what I'm saying? Right. But as far as basketball standpoint, I think he did a hell of a job.
Right, absolutely. Absolutely, man. I tell people all the time, man, I know my experience is with him. Always a solid guy, man. Always, you know, very welcoming and always welcoming in and wanting to come be a part of the, you know, the family and be around a little more, man. So obviously we definitely appreciate his time, man, Merlin. So now he's gone. Who do you, obviously, you know, Coach Manning is there interim, but who do you think or can see coming in there basically next season? Like who do you think should get it, or what do you think that the Terps should be looking for?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm biased. I'm always gonna say somebody I know, you know, or new, you know. So of course, all our coaches, you know, we got Juan up the street, you know what I'm saying? We still got your DeMatha guy, Mike Jones, just left. He was down the street. So like I said, we can go either way. Like I said, I mean, I don't really care. Like, I just want the best for the program. I'm a cheer regardless, you know, like when they come out of Minnesota, because that's 2.5 hours for me, just went to the football game, you know, so what, a month or so ago when they played out there. Right. But I'm going to support my Terps regardless, you know what I'm saying? I'm always a part of the family. So whoever they hire, I welcome them with open arms and let's get another natty.
Absolutely. Well, look, man, I definitely appreciate you taking time out your schedule to join the Go Turbans with Travis Garrison and Phil.
Yeah, because it's an hour. Because it's an hour early out here, man. I'm tired, man. I'm tired, boss.
That's what you used to do to me, man, when we used to be roommates. So, ain't trying to hear on that. You used to terrorize me. I'll tell you, the worst roommate ever. The worst roommate ever.
Anytime,
I feel bad for Erica, man.
Hey, man. Anytime, champ.
No, I appreciate you, bro, man. Always appreciate you, brother, man. Definitely always love talking to you, man. We definitely got to catch up more. But like I said, I definitely appreciate your time.
My man, Joe. I love you, man. You be safe out there.
I love you too, bro.
Bye, champ.